Blog Talk Radio.
Always look up, never give up, and you will reach your goals. You're important, you're more than enough. And here she is, your host for Rolling with the Diva, Sabrina Williams. Thank you.
Hello from Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Sabrina Williams. I'm your host for the next 60 minutes to 90 minutes. We are going to be talking about today with Dr. Linda and Ms. Vera about dyslexia. Hello, ladies. How are you?
We're fine. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you guys for being on this panel. I appreciate it. It was not my idea. Actually, after I had interviewed Dr. Linda a couple of weeks back, and she was on the air, and we were just talking about that, and then Ms. Vera came on, and we were talking. So this panel is born out of these two ladies having the tenacity and the strength to want people to be educated on dyslexia, mental health, and understanding what people go through as a regular person and in the military. So we are going to also have another panel next week, which we're going to be talking about mental health. We're going to really focus on three of those criteria, which are PTSD, anxiety, and depression, because those all impact the military, and these wonderful ladies are going to be on here. So what is dyslexia? Dyslexia is a general term disorder that involves difficulty in learning to read or interpret words, letters, and or the symbols, but does not always affect general intelligence. Ladies, did you want to comment on that?
Yes, I will. I will say that it is a lot of times people get nervous, Sabrina, when they hear the term, and I say this all the time. It is not a death sentence. It does not mean that you're mentally challenged. As a matter of fact, most of the kids that I taught that were diagnosed with dyslexia were gifted. There's a thing about being, you know, about having this challenge. For some reason, your brain takes off and goes in another direction. When you think about people like Tom Cruise, Whoopi Goldberg, Steven Spielberg, these people are masters at what they do, but the printed word has no meaning for them. It does not mean that you're going to be a failure. It just means that you learn in a different mode. Your brain does not decode. The best way I can explain a dyslexic person, an adult or a kid, is to say they think in pictures and not in words. That's the best way I can explain it.
Exactly.
Wow, that's good. Are you ready for Vera?
Yeah, go ahead. Did you have a comment on that?
No, I was going to say, I agree with Dr. Linda. I have a grandson that was diagnosed as being dyslexic and having that. And actually, I didn't think it was a death sentence. I really wasn't sure about it. I really didn't understand it. I didn't want to be labeled lazy or not caring and didn't want to read and participate in school, but all along it was the challenge that he was facing because of dyslexia. And you're right, Dr. Linda, people, it is not a death sentence. There are people that's functioning and doing great things, not only in their community, but for the world, and they are dyslexic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day, you know, back in the day, there wasn't a bunch of information about it, so they were kind of pushed in the back of the classroom thinking that they may, you know, were so challenged that they couldn't learn, but it was far from the truth. People just didn't understand it. There wasn't enough resources available, and there wasn't enough information on it, so people really didn't know how to help a kid that was struggling being with dyslexia, so they kind of just pushed them aside and put them in the portable back in the day. Yeah, put them in the
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They separated you, or they called you lazy. But there's a term that everybody needs to be aware of. I'm sure some people have heard it, and especially it, and in generally it. There's a term that you need to be aware of. There's also a reader called a reluctant reader. A reluctant reader is not dyslexic. Sometimes, and I'm going to say this, especially with boys. sometimes boys don't want to be bothered with read. They can read. They don't want to be bothered with it. There are some girls like that, too. I think sometimes years ago, kids were, I guess the word is misdiagnosed. They didn't have dyslexia. Some kids, there are some subjects, some kids just, and I know this from teaching school for so many years, they just don't want to be bothered with it. They don't like spelling. They don't like reading. They have no problem with math. They have no problem with science. But they don't like the reading piece of it. In other words, reading is just something I just don't want to be bothered with. That's a reluctant reader. So I always tell parents, be careful if you're having your baby tested, because your child may not be dyslexic. Your child could just be a reluctant reader. It's one of those, I just don't want to deal with that. You know, not right now. You know, I'll deal with it later. Uh-huh, that's a difference. That's a difference.
It's a good, and that's a good point.
What, you don't like, want a misdiagnosis. You don't want a misdiagnosis. You don't want to, that's like, you know, that's like a health issue. You don't ever want a misdiagnosis and when it comes to your health, because that can affect everything. Yes.
So today what we're going to talk about is what we're, and we started to look at, and this is from www.understand.org on dyslexia and other sometimes disorders that people go through, but they had, and the one, I like their website. I picked one more that I'm going to read from, but we were talking about basically giving you a snapshot of what dyslexia is. So we're going to go over some of the these areas, dyslexia signs and symptoms, other issues that can occur with dyslexia, possible causes of dyslexia, how dyslexia is diagnosed, and Dr. Linda alluded to that sometimes your child can be a reluctant reader. So that's a piece of information to keep in your hat when you do get your child tested for dyslexia, and how professionals can help with dyslexia, and how you can help your child with dyslexia. But before I go on, I want to read, because I think Ms. Vera had said that we were talking about superstars with dyslexia. And I came across, hold on a second, and you guys can tell me, he just recently passed away, but these quotes were from him. And as I'm reading them, you guys can, I'll tell you when I'm finished, but let me know if you guys can tell who this is from. If my mind can conceive it and my heart can believe it, then I can achieve it. One of the world's greatest sporting figures. And who am I talking about?
Don't know yet. Don't know yet. I'm thinking.
Let me read another one. Only a man who knows what it's like to be defeated can reach down to the bottom of his soul and come up with the extra ounce of power it takes to win when the match is even. Don't count the days. Make the days count. And here's one I love.
I've heard that one before.
I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I've handcuffed lightning and threw thunder in jail. Do we know yet?
Sounds like Ali.
That's it.
Yeah.
So,
Muhammad
Ali was dyslexic himself and had difficulty graduating high school because of his reading problems. Ali and his wife, Lonnie, were involved in a charitable activity to help create a literacy program that would inspire more African-American children to read. One of the world's greatest sporting figures, Muhammad Ali, passed away. We know he passed away a while ago. He was the world's only three-time heavyweight boxing champion. He had a record of 56 wins and losses and became a tireless advocate for social justice, including those with dyslexia. Most of the quotes, this is from www.dyslexiaadvantage.org, and they quoted and said, most of those quotes that Ali quoted, those deep thoughts, were because of his heartache and passion that he had in dealing with dyslexia.
It is.
Yeah.
And so
there
you
talent in another area, always another talent hidden, as like a hidden talent somewhere within, always.
Right. Now tell me if you ladies and people, when you guys are listening to this, I'm mentioning all these people. It has nothing to do with race or color. I've gotten a very big, broad step of different African-American, Caucasian, and so on. But the reason I'm reading all these names is because as you're listening to this show, what I don't want you to do is be in despair and say, oh, my God, I can't. If I have dyslexia, I'm not going to be able to do it. Or if my child has it, they're not going to make it. Actually, I'm going to read you these names. So when you're listening to the show, you can come back and realize these people have achieved success. Here we go. Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is Thomas Cruise, because he's short and kicks butt, okay? Henry Winkler, everybody remembers him from Happy Days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would have never guessed Steven Spielberg. Now,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We already talked about Muhammad Ali, world's heavyweight champion, and Bancroft. And this one floored me for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson. Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm like, whoa. Bob May, a golfer. And wait, hold your horses. This was amazing to me. President John F. Kennedy and his brother, Robert Kennedy, George Bush, George W. Bush, George Washington. That was amazing. And all of those people are successful. Dyslexia is not a crime. It's not a sentence. And you won't be mentally locked up. So from this point, we're going to go back, because I had opened up web pages for that, and I want to go back to the one website, what does dyslexia mean? And so, ladies, let's talk about one of the first things. What are some symptoms? Because as I was reading, I found that most of dyslexia can be detected in children as early as first grade. What are some of the signs and symptoms parents are looking for?
Okay, Vera, you want to go? You want to go first?
Well, I'm going to have to only speak from experience, but I think one of the signs that it really, when they struggle with the words and they can't even get the words out, they can't read the book. And because they may see the words back, but what they're seeing is the letters kind of turned around. So they are actually studying that word, B-A-T. They are trying to put it in the context of what it really means. So they may read a little more, and then they can come back. They may read a little more into the sentence, and then it can come back and say, oh, that word means back. Because we would just see it automatically, and we'll know the word back. They actually have to read part of the rest of the sentence to fit that word in so they can know it really means. So I think that's some of the signs. If parents kind of watch just in their eyes and the movement and how they are kind of processing the word that they're trying to say, or the sentence they're trying to say, trying to read.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I think that's one of the signs.
Mm-hmm. They have trouble. They have trouble decoding words.
Right.
They read very slow orally if they can read it all. It's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they are easily distracted by background noise. Not all the time, but sometimes. Every little thing seems to catch their attention. And like Vera was saying, we call it mirror writing. That's that writing when the letters go backwards.
Right.
And they have trouble even with rhyming words. That's one of the things about nursery rhymes. Nursery rhymes teach you how to read because you put words in groups.
Uh-huh.
They have trouble. It's called a CVC pattern. That's a consonant verb consonant. You and I can see, we see rat, cat, hat. They have trouble even with the CVC pattern. That's the shortest way in English when you learn how to read. They also sometimes, they will have trouble with reading smoothly. Have you ever listened to a child read, or even an adult, maybe even in church, and it's not smooth, it's real jerky? You know, it's not smooth.
Right.
That's a sign. They have trouble with spelling.
Yes.
And then comprehension. Sometimes after they struggle through it, they have trouble understanding what they just read. They have trouble with that. Sometimes, but not all the times, they also have trouble with that. If you have trouble reading, which means you're probably going to have trouble in word problems in math. If it's a straight math problem, just numbers, digits, no problem.
But if it's a word problem, they stumble through it because reading is still key. You have to be able to know how to read to do your science, your social studies, and, you know, and some pieces of math. Some pieces of math is just all numbers, you know, as a process, and they can memorize that. But and spelling is always a problem. They have trouble spelling words.
Right.
One of the things that I tell people is that if your child is having trouble in third, fourth, and fifth grade, you should have gotten some signs or some symptoms before then. Don't wait until your baby is in the fifth or sixth grade and say, you know, my child is having trouble reading. If your child is having trouble reading in the fifth or sixth grade, your child was having trouble reading in first grade.
Desperate.
Sometimes parents just kind of, oh, you know, it'll be better. No, it won't be better. When it comes to reading, the lower you are in reading, the you're going to get further and further behind in academics because reading is the key to everything, everything in academics.
And
one
let me
of the
bring
things,
this right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead, man. I'll say. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I found out, too, is that sometimes kids from different socioeconomic backgrounds will also have extra help because they have a tutor. But you need to be your own child's tutor. Do things at home to help your babies out. But you, if your child is struggling with something, I tell every parent, and I had an interview on Saturday, start early on everything. Don't wait. If you can see it early, you can see it early. Go ahead and get on it. And so they can learn to read. It's not that, oh, my child will never learn to read. Yes, they can. It's just going to be a slower process, and it's going to be a different process. But they can learn to read.
They can
learn to read.
Mm-hmm. And this is Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because if you overlook it, like Dr. Linda said, when they're young, they will, when they get in junior high, so then that's those same kids, so they kind of will become like a, I don't want to say class clown, but they will kind of compensate.
They will.
From knowing that they really struggle
right.
with this lesson, and they don't want you to know that they're struggling with reading, and it's because of dyslexia, so they
right.
will kind of become the jokester in the class just to get the attention off of them.
They
then
will.
You think,
they
oh, will. He's a class clown. He's really using that as a defense mechanism, so you want to discover that he's struggling with reading, and he struggled back, you know, back when he was, like, in first, second, and third grade, but unfortunately, some parents, I mean, kind of take it so personal that the kids may struggle, that they really don't get the help and get into the resources that he may need.
That's right.
All right, so I'm going to, this is from the signs of, it's called Signs of Dyslexia, and this is from the Yale Center for Dyslexia and Creativity, and they are just reinforcing what Dr. Linda and Ms. Vera said. The preschool years, trouble learning common nursery rhymes such as Jack and Jill, difficulty learning and remembering the names of letters in the alphabet. And you can find this information at dyslexia.yale.edu. Those are the preschool. Doesn't recognize rhyming patterns like cat, bat, or rat. A family history of reading or spelling difficulties. Now, if they're in the kindergarten and first grade, reading errors that show no connection to the sounds of the letters on the page will say puppy instead of the written word dog, or illustrated page with a picture of a dog, does not understand the word that words come apart, complains about how hard reading is, disappears when it's time to read. But again, that point I want to bring back to where Dr. Linda said a few minutes ago, that your child just might be a lazy reader. So again, when you get them tested, make sure that they're just, because some kids, like, I don't want to read this. I'm not in the mood. They just don't want to, especially with
boys. So be careful with that. Be careful with that assessment, with that testing piece. Make sure you check your child out completely yourself. Spend some time with your child. You study your child.
before you take your child in. We don't want your baby to be diagnosed as dyslexic when your child is not. Your son or your grandson or grandbaby just may not feel like dealing with reading during that time. Maybe later they'll change. But be very careful with that. Be very careful.
Yeah.
I've had some in special ed. After I got to know them, you know what I said to myself? There's nothing wrong with this kid. Why am I looking at this paperwork? I know what happened. The kid played around with the assessment. They played around with the psychiatrist or the psychologist, whoever was doing the test. And if they, when kids know how to get away with things, they know how to get away with things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yep,
so
exactly.
Be very careful with that. Yeah. Be very careful with that.
And so many kids have been diagnosed. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to finish up this section. And then one thing I thought that was interesting for kindergarten and first grade, they do not associate letters with sounds, such as letter B with the B sound. However, mm-hmm. now this was really interesting that they pointed out strength that you can start looking for with a child that might be dyslexic in kindergarten and first grade is curiosity, mm-hmm. great imagination. They're actually surprisingly more mature, a larger vocabulary than typical for their age group, and they enjoy solving puzzles. Now, second grade this has been the downside for second grade through high school. Very slow in acquiring reading skills. Reading is slow and awkward. Trouble reading unfamiliar words, often making wild guesses because he or she cannot mm-hmm. connect sounds out of the word. Avoids reading out loud.
Mm-hmm.
They search for specific words and end up using vague language such as stuff or thing without naming the object. Pause,
right.
hesitate to use lots of ums when speaking. Confuses words that sound alike, such as saying tornado for volcano, substituting lotion for ocean. Mispronunciation of long, unfamiliar, or complicated sounds. School and life. Now, this is especially important for second grade through high school. It has to do with dyslexia. Trouble remembering dates, names, telephone numbers, random lists, struggles to finish tests on time, extreme difficulty learning a foreign language, obviously, poor spelling,
right.
messy handwriting, low self-esteem that may not be immediately visible. And that's one thing we're going to head on for next week, because sometimes with, especially as they get older and older, because they're struggling in school, depression, low self-esteem, which can lead to other problems such as drugs and alcohol, come into play.
Mm-hmm.
I found this very interesting, their strength. I like how they give them strength. Their excellent thinking skills, conceptualization, reasoning, imagination, abstract. Look at some of the people we were talking about earlier. Learning that is accomplished best through meaning rather than rote memorization. Ability to get the big picture, a high level of understanding of reading to him, of what is read to him, the ability to read and to understand at a higher level, overlearned or highly practiced, and then improvements as an area of interest, more specialized and focused. Just like the ladies had said earlier, they excel in everything else, but maybe they struggle in this. And excel areas not dependent on reading, such as math, computers. We already went over that. Young adults are reading, and this is where we get into people who, after they went through high school, they're now adults, and they still haven't. They've been missed through the system, or they were able to memorize their way through, get through school. Maybe somebody's helped them.
Mm-hmm.
Assess. Now they're adults. Reading and spelling difficulty, rarely reads for pleasure, shows slow reading of most material. Their oral language difficulties persist in school, a lack of fluency and glibness, often pronounces the name of people and places incorrectly, and so on. And in their school life, despite good grades, they may say sometimes that they're dumb, they're penalized for multiple choice. The strengths for adults, they're noted, they have a high capacity to learn, demonstrates excellence when focused on highly specialized areas. And look at all the people we talked about. Look at Magic Johnson, the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, I would have never guessed had any speaking problems, anything associated with him, because he was just on fire to me. So, again,
mm-hmm.
you can mask that and be an overachiever in other areas.
Oh,
so
yeah,
lady,
you can.
I'm going to go ahead and let you guys talk about some of those, just talk a little bit about those things that we talked about, and then we're going to go into literally what tests can be done and what are some of the downside of other disorders that can come into play with dyslexia.
Okay.
Want to go ahead and go?
Another name I want to. You know, Einstein was dyslexic. Did you know that?
Yeah.
No,
I didn't know that.
Isn't that something?
He sure was.
One of the greatest scientists that ever lived. That's right. He was dyslexic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was in the military as a veteran, I was in the military with quite a few people that was dyslexic. Didn't really realize it. We had to take tests for whatever type of assignment or whatever type of new field we were learning or going into, and we had to go to school and take tests. Those soldiers struggle. But if you took them and told them, take these 10 soldiers and I need you to go take that hill and take care of it and go to this mission, make sure that they get it get done and you get them back here safe, they will do the mission, get those soldiers back in, they'll be safe. I mean, it's like amazing how
no problem.
You know, yeah, no problem. But if they're sitting in the classroom and they had to pass a test on how to disassemble a tank, for instance, they would struggle with it. But if you told them to go out there and disassemble that tank, they could do it right then. Or go fix the flat on that tank, they could do it right then. But if they had to read and explain it to someone, they would really struggle. So we got great leaders that actually suffer from dyslexia, but they are great leaders nonetheless because they will get the job done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're outstanding, but reading they much slower.
Yeah. Has no meaning for them. I had a kid. I taught functional skills at Grand Prairie High School. My classroom it looked like an apartment. When you walk through the door, I had the stove, the refrigerator, the washer, the double sink, the cabinets, the dishes. I had a full living room set, full bedroom set, because it was teaching kids how to live in the real world. I had a kid they brought to my class one time. He was in special ed, but he was also a gang member. He was in high school. That I'm sure is one of those deals where we've done everything we can with him. We got to get to the end of the day. We're trying to keep kicking him out. So they brought him in my room. And I had already heard he had a reputation. Everybody in school know him, Grand Prairie has 2,300 kids in that school. It's like a small city. I said, okay, they're bringing him in here. That means he's in trouble. And they're going to leave him with me to the end of the day. He walked in. They said, what do you want to do, Linda? I said, just go away and just leave us alone. I said, I don't want to call his name. I said, come here. He said, put that on. That apron, I said, put it on. He said, yes, ma'am. I said, put the hairnet on. I said, can you cook? He said, Mrs. Bark, I cook with my grandmother all the time. He said, what do you want? I said, well, right now, baby, I think I feel like a meatloaf. I put the ground beef out. I put the onions out. I put that cutting board out and a knife. The principal walked through. He looked at me. He said, Ms. Bark, what is he doing? I said, he's making a meatloaf. He said, I'm gone. I'll be back later. I said, thank you. No problem. The boy was a gang member. He was standing there. People were walking through looking like checking like, okay, let's go see if he has wiped out Ms. Bark. What did he do? He was cooking a meatloaf.
Right.
No problem. They are good at what they're good in. They're just not good in reading. Am I making sense?
Yes. Yeah.
They listen. They listen to another drummer. So every day when he came in, he either washed dishes for me, he cleaned out the refrigerator, he either made a banana pudding. I had something for him to do every day because when he got in hot water in his other classes, I already knew they were going to send him to me so we could make it through the day without getting him suspended or sending him to in-school suspension. He made it through the day. But half of the population was afraid of, well, he was in a gang. I mean, what can you say? He's a gang member. They didn't know what he was going to do. And he had a following. All gang members have a following. So, but at the end of the year, he came in, he gave me a hug and he left. And I thought about him the other day. I said, I wonder where he is. And to be honest with you, I asked myself, I said, I wonder if he's still alive. I thought about that because he was tough. He had the
teardrops drawn on his face. He was tough. He was tough. But they know how to do things. You have to find that other gift that's in them. You really do. And I just said all that to say, no matter what you think about them, they have something else going on that needs to be identified. You just need to find it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a shout out. We're going to go to a commercial real quick, and I want to give a shout out to RA Medical Systems, and they are in the U.S. in San Diego, California. They are a cardiovascular dermatology, and their commercial is, "We are dreamers and doers, scientists and entrepreneurs, more tenacious than the disease we treat. We are innovators and pragmatists," and talk about words. "Delivering trailblazing devices that are better, safer, faster, cheaper." What they do is they help people who they're pioneers of cardiovascular and dermatology, catheters and lasers. And what they do, let me read you on their dermatology part. Again, we just wanted to give them a shout out because I've been watching them and I research everybody that's on Instagram, and I find it amazing. The products that they use, if you just go to their website, a guy has really, really bad dermatology on the knees, and through some of their laser interventions, and they're able to help people. The one machine, this is called the Pharos, is a powerful monochromatic xenochlorine. I'm not going to even start with that word. It's for the treatment of difficult-to-treat chronic diseases, including psoriasis and infantigo. It's a non-thermal and a and the treatments are painless. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. Anybody that's struggling with skin or, are working for, they need heart catheters, this is the place. RA Medical Systems in San Diego, California. You can message me and I'll give you the information. We're back now with Dr. Linda and Ms. Vera, and we're talking about dyslexia. And we were just talking, we just finished up with talking about that. Sometimes, in order to treat a child with dyslexia, you may have to find alternative things that they can do first in order mm-hmm. to work with them. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they are downtrodden, they're at despair, and they figure, why, if nobody else cares about me, then, you know, why should I? So when people take the time to reach them at a different level, that's what the important things are. Now, I thought this was mm-hmm. interesting because it's telling you the truth. Dyslexia was not part of my major in school, but I thought this was interesting. It says, what are the different types of dyslexia? And this is from www.medicine.net. Excuse me. So primary dyslexia, that we talked about, this is the main one we're talking about. This is the most common type of dyslexia, and it's a dysfunction of rather than damage to the left side of the brain, the cerebral cortex, and that's all I'm going to read you guys. Secondary or developmental dyslexia is caused by problems with brain development during the early stages of fetal development. And it can actually, interesting, can diminish as a child matures. And actually, that one is more common in boys. Thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dyslexia. This type of mm-hmm. dyslexia usually occurs after some form of brain trauma or injury. Yeah. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm doing a whole piece in August on CTE, and everybody knows that that's the swelling. I'm just going to give a short version: swelling of the brain in athletes, and whether it became big in the NFL when that was exposed. But what people don't realize, that trauma starts when the kids are early, and so we're going to talk about controls reading and writing. It's rarely seen in today's school population. This was a dated article. Other types of learning disability include the term visual dyslexia is sometimes used to refer to visual processing disorder, a condition in which the brain does not properly interpret visual signals. There's another mm-hmm. one, auditory dyslexia, that has been used to refer to auditory processing disorder. Similar to visual processing, there are problems with the brain's processing of sound and speech. And I'm going to see if I can pronounce this one, but I have to be honest, my sons and I, we all have a draw on the way we work and sometimes the way I see them. I'm not dyslexic, but they said that was a way that I learned because of just it had something to do, and I don't want to lie. I think they said it had to do with the way my mom from the way south, the southern dialect that she had. And it's called dysgraphia, refers to the child's difficulty holding and controlling a pencil so they can correct markings that may be made on the paper. So with that all be said, why would I bring that up? Why would the diva bring that up? Because as you guys are listening to this, maybe your child falls in one of those categories. And maybe mm-hmm. that's something for you to take back to the person who's doing the test on them and saying, hey, you know what? I'm thinking this. This is what I see. It actually makes you more aware of your child. And actually, you're, as Dr. Linda and Ms. Vera said, you're your child's best advocate. Classroom mm-hmm. teachers may mm-hmm. be able to determine if a child has dyslexia, but teachers are actually a child's second best advocate because they spend 6 to 7 hours with them a day, and they're with them for 30 to 40 hours a week. So trust your teacher when she's telling you. Some parents will just say, oh, no, my teacher's out to get me. No, it's not like that. Sometimes your teachers are really trying to tell you they care early mm-hmm. on. Lady, you want to comment on those?
Yeah, I will say this. If is a true dyslexic, I'm not talking about one from that's been injured. I'm not talking about one that's been injured. I'm talking about one that's been tested out and is true. In most cases, if a child is a true dyslexic, someone else in the family is dyslexic too. It may be mm-hmm. a parent. It may be a. It's like, the best way I can explain it, it's like bipolar disorder. If someone is a true bipolar disorder, if that condition is true with that person, someone mm-hmm. else in that family is also bipolar. It's a genetic thing.
No, you're absolutely.
And it's like drugs. Let me explain. It's like drugs. Sometimes mm-hmm. if someone has been on drugs, it may not hit their offspring. Sometimes it will skip a generation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I was a heavy dope smoker back in the 60s and the 70s, when my child was born in the late 60s, it may not bother her, but her child may be affected by it. It operates like bipolar disorder. Dyslexia, if it's true dyslexia, then it's a gene situation, and that's that's been documented. It's not anything to be ashamed of. It's like high blood pressure runs in my family. Bad eyesight by most of the women at my age. By the time they were my age, four of my aunts were already blind. They were already blind. Because glaucoma runs in my family. It doesn't skip a generation. It goes from a sibling offspring. But in most cases, I'm talking about a true dyslexic, someone else in the family, an ancestor, a senior, someone else had trouble reading. They may have covered it. You know how we compensate with things. But it's just the truth. It's a bloodline thing also.
Yeah,
but
no,
what I like about it now, we have so many more. We have better ways now to deal with it, and we have all this technology that we can use now. To work with. It's not like it used to be. There's a way now to fix everything that we have, and that's what I'm happy about.
Yeah.
So all is not lost anymore, like it was years ago.
That's true. Mm-hmm. When my grandson was diagnosed, and he's 12 now, but. When he was diagnosed as being dyslexic, and my daughter, she called me and she mm-hmm. said, "Well, I just talked to my dad, my ex-husband, and mm-hmm. we found out that after we were divorced, that he was tested and he was determined that he was dyslexic. So that gene actually it didn't pass to his daughter, our daughter,
uh-huh.
it passed to our grandchild." It may skip his kids and go to the kids' kids.
That's right.
Yeah, that was determined. And I remember my ex-husband struggled with reading, but I just thought, I didn't know back then. I just thought he just struggled with reading
mm-hmm.
in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But he it was much later in life that he was diagnosed dyslexic. Now he was one of those soldiers. Because we met in the military, so he was one of those soldiers too. That you could tell, you put him on a mission, and he would take
mm-hmm.
care of it. But
mm-hmm.
when you told him to
mm-hmm.
read something, he would kind
mm-hmm.
of he would struggle read it, and he would say one word like the diva was saying. He would say one word. I remember
mm-hmm.
if he read something, he would say one word that he wanted it to mean, but it didn't really say that on the paper. Like
mm-hmm.
he would say
mm-hmm.
tornado,
but it could have been a rainstorm, and he couldn't get that out. And he would say something like, oh, it's raining. But the word on the paper was actually rain, storm, or tornado.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he would say, like, yes, it's raining, it's going to rain, the weather's going to be really bad. He would add those words in there because he couldn't figure out what that word was because he was trying to twist those letters around to make sense to him.
And you know, Vera, that is interesting. That is interesting, you know, about the hereditary. Let me tell you something else that older adults do. They compensate. You can be around. You'd be surprised at the people that you mix with sometimes.
Right.
They can't read.
Right.
You can, but you don't know it because they have found.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, Sabrina can be with a group of her friends, and you can say, what is that? And she'll look at you and say, oh, girl, I don't feel like it. Won't you read that to me? Girl, I'm so tired. Won't you read that to me? I'm just too tired. They find ways
to
get around it.
Uh-huh.
And
they work.
They go to work every day. They go to work every day. They do what they're supposed to do. They earn a living. They pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
They feed their kids. But they find ways to make things work for them. But I've seen that used with some adults. I didn't realize it until later as I got older. And I said, you know what?
Right.
I remember that lady. I said, you know what? She couldn't read. I didn't know that then. I know it now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Won't you? You know what? You feel like riding to the store with me? Yeah, well, girl, I need to pick up some things. You know, I need some potatoes and I need some meat. They will use you to help them out without insulting you, and you will never know. They just
move. You'll never know. Yeah.
You'll never know.
Yeah.
Well, but
years ago,
you could be that way, and you could get through. It's hard now because of the technology that we have to hide it. It's hard to hide now. It's very hard to hide.
Right. That's true.
Well, and you know what, ladies? We are coming to a close. But before I do that, I want to talk about, and I thank you guys for all the information. You guys can, Dr. Linda and Ms. Vera is going to give you places to follow them. Ms. Vera will be on tomorrow again, and she will be talking about her book. So you'll be able to follow her more. But these ladies will be back again next week, and we will be talking about mental health and that term that it genetically can follow generations, skip a generation, one thing I want to point out is that because you have dyslexia or you have mental illness doesn't mean it has to stick with you. It just means it's part of you, but you can actually achieve better. Now, I thought these learning tools were amazing. Learning Ally is a great resource for audiobooks. This app has hundreds of books for kids and adults. Natural Reader, it actually has where it can take the natural sounding voice and a variety of documents. Dyslexia Quest is an app, and it feels like a game, but it's designed to help dyslexic teens and kids work on memory skills. Sound Literacy for young students with dyslexia. You ladies know a lot more of these than I do. It works with the phonics and is especially important. It's a sound literacy game. Ginger Page. This is interesting. Dyslexic students also have trouble with spelling software with autocorrect or spell check. Sometimes can't figure out what the dyslexic student is trying to spell. Ginger Page is a more sophisticated word processor that can help dyslexic students write flawlessly. Another one that I can't even find it in was there's an ability to take cover up the paper with a colored piece of paper so they only see the words and they're not distracted by anything else in the page.
That's a special ed technique where you just you're only looking at what you need to see at that point, and then you move that piece down. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. VDS voice reader, text to speech apps can help. Open web, it's a useful text to speech. Reading intro by Oz Phonics, and then there's so many different ones. My Meester for dyslexic students is difficult. This app allows the user to create graphic organizers or mind maps to jot their thoughts down quickly and easily. So dyslexia is not a mind sentence. so say, is your mind has to stay in prison and you don't have to be able to read or talk to your friends or read a page or read a Bible verse. There's many ways. And even if you're an adult that's listening to this and think that you can't read and not going to be able to read because you have dyslexia, don't let your brain lie to you. Don't even let Satan put that guilt on you. There's no shame in here. We're doing this
because
we want people to be able to say, for you to be able to know, hey, there's options out there. Technology has its bad side, but thank God for technology because there's so many programs out there that can be that are created that for people. Too bad they don't have the one that you can just push a button on social media for the bad person that's bugging you. That's not an app yet. I think I probably push a button on a lot of people, but you know what? Technology is good that way. But ladies, I want you before I go, Miss Vera, please tell everybody of where you're where they can find you. And then you'll be on tomorrow again to talk about your book. And then Dr. Linda, go ahead and tell me where you can find you.
Oh, yes, definitely. Thank you so much, Eva. You could find me on happyreadingbyvera.com. You can find me on Facebook. If you just type in Vera Harris, and it will come up. If you Google Vera Harris, that will come up. I'm also on my books are located. You can get my books at Barnes & Noble. And Amazon. My website is veraharris.vpvp.com. My Instagram account is vharris5413, and my Twitter account is vharris5413. So if you check those four, I think I mentioned maybe five social media links, you'll be able to find all four of my books that are books that help kids to not only enjoy reading, but it encourages reading and it teaches our life lessons.
Very nice. Dr. Linda?
Okay, you can find me. My website is www.lindamubarak.com. You can find me on Instagram at LJMubarak, Stations for Kids. And you can find my fan page on Facebook. If you just type in Stations for Kids, it will pop up. My latest book, Maxine's New Job, is about a young girl who discovers that her senior neighbor cannot read. And so she's been trying to figure out what is wrong with this lady, why she acts so strange, and that's what the book is about. A young kid who finds out that the lady next door cannot read. She cries and she tells her, she said, I am so embarrassed. I just didn't know what to say. So the story takes off from there. So I'm on the Author's Lounge radio show on Tuesdays from 3 until 5 o'clock. That's Central Time. We'll be there tomorrow. We interview any author who is published. But your book must be available for public purchasing. My books are also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But we will interview anyone who has a published book. We can't interview you if it's a manuscript. It has to be a completed published document. So, and I want to thank the Diva so much for having us on here because dyslexia is one of those situations. And like we said, it's not a bad disease. It's a condition, and you learn how to live with it like we live with high blood pressure and everything else. You do what you need to do, and you keep going. You keep going. But thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, you are guys are more
than
welcome. You know what? It's nice for me because I don't come up with some of these shows. I just come up with them when I'm talking to people. And so it's just really awesome to give the Dr. Linda and Miss Vera the credit because it wasn't mine. Because people are like, you come up with these shows. Now, some shows I'll come up with my own, like dating men with the Peter Pan syndrome. That's mine because I dated men with the Peter Pan syndrome. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying
yeah.
that was mine. some of these things and these topics are great, and it's nice to give other people a forum to be able to show that you can show their expertise and hear that they have their own radio shows. And I'm getting a lot of people that I'm trying to share radio show information to get them to come on mine. Some want to come, some don't. But the thing is, I'm in no competition with anybody else for a radio show because everybody has something unique, like the Author's Lounge. I don't know too many authors except for these two ladies, so please come on my show. So I'm always, it's nice to cross-network, and we go back to, if dyslexia is going to be treated as a whole, I'll go back to this term, and same thing with mental health and other disorders that people have or anything people are struggling with. It takes a community to raise a child. It takes a community to love people and to help everybody. So until we get back to that point in life, that's why I like people coming on my show, because you know what? I don't have all the answers, but I can go find you the answers. So today I brought in experts, people who have been in the military, who have seen it, who have seen it in schools, both of them, and who do these things and who struggle. Next week's show is going to be awesome because we're going to be looking at it, which is not always talked a lot about mental health. We're going to be looking at it from a military standpoint of maybe being in the military and then them coming out and then the families that have to struggle with them. And then it maybe individuals who have not been in the military, but what's it like for families dealing with people with mental illness and how that term Dr. Linda said and Ms. Harris said about the genetics. It isn't genetic, and we can't. It doesn't mean you're going to stay that way. But if you don't recognize it, then you're going to repeat patterns and have the same illnesses and sicknesses without getting the help. So that's why I like it. And these lovely ladies blessed me today. I just love them. I was laughing because we were listening to your. I told somebody to be quiet the other day because I was listening to you read the story on the air, and somebody was interrupting me, and I had to start the story. Start the story over, Dr. Linda. I kicked them out of the room. I'm not even trying to listen to the story. She's reading. And somebody said, well, can't you read? Of course I can read. But it sounds better if she's reading it to me. You guys are just not paying attention. People come on, but I get the experience of your life, and I get to, and it's just nice to see people who are doing amazing things out there and have their own platform. So please, and I'm so happy that we have African American, Black American women that are doing some great things with some great books. And it's nice that when other people hear this, they can see and see your photos that you guys are, that African American women, we're still doing great things. We've always done great things. We're just being brought to the forefront now for whatever reason, but we've always done great things. So with that, ladies, I'm going to each give you, we'll start with Ms. Vera and Dr. Linda, any closing words you want to say to everybody, and then I'm going to close the show out with music.
I can just tell everyone, if you have kids or even if you're an adult, just keep reading, because even if you are a reader, the more you read, the better you read, the better you read. If your eyes are fading out like mine, you may have to go to audiobooks, but go to audiobooks. But don't stop reading. It's still the key to learning, and you'd be surprised. You can go all over the world in a book. You can. You can visit the entire world in a book. Well, you can always get in the car like the diva and drive all over the country. I watch her. I've been watching. She goes everywhere. She goes to all the best restaurants, and then she takes pictures of the food, and I'm just sitting there because I don't want to cook because it's 110 here in Texas. And I said, what is Sabrina today? Where is the diva today? Out fooling around.
I'm just telling you. And you know what? The food is not, I'm telling people, because people think like, and I'm telling you, the older you get, because you use a discount, some restaurants give me a discount of 50.
Right.
Denny's needs to stop. I have to wait till I'm 60. I'm done with Denny's. But I get to use my AARP card. And
that's
the pancakes
right.
of the ladies. Monitors me for like saying, you know what, I'm like, lady, leave me alone. So, but I'm telling you, sometimes cheaper to go to a happy hour, not saying you're drinking, but you can get a happy hour meal for half price and a drink all for under $10. So I just need people to understand that, you know what, sometimes when you're, especially when you have older kids and or you don't want to cook, hey, take
you
your
don't
family
cook.
To happy hour.
That's right.
Or go pick
That's
a happy
true.
Hour and you can feed
and
the whole family for under $25.
And Vera is laughing because she gets a military discount. I know why she's laughing. She's getting a military discount.
These people be like trying to hold it for me on my little, you're not old enough. But all right, ladies, thank you so much for tuning in.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You guys
have
a great night, and then I will see you guys next week on the air.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Thank
talk
you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye
bye.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thank you. And that was Rolling with the Diva. And I'm Sabrina Williams, your host. Thank you, Dr. Linda. Thank you, Ms. Shearer, for being on the air with us. Dyslexia is not a mind sentence. We hope we gave you ways to find actual understanding of dyslexia. Yes, the Diva's on the road. I got to take my children, my son, to work. So I think I'm out of the house before them. But we're going to play some music. Before I go to play music, I just want to remind you guys that if you're having mental health crisis or problems, please go call 211 in any of the states in the United States, and they will be able to refer you to either free or discounted counseling. So you guys, there's the elevator, sorry about that. Discounted counseling. So you guys make sure that you guys check that out. Also, if you're in Las Vegas tomorrow and you want to be in on our live interview with Clarence Jones, I call him the master tailor, please come on over. We'll be in Las Vegas. Call me, text me, and I'll give you the location. But we will be doing a live interview with him. And then on Wednesday, we'll be talking to Christina, and we'll be talking about the highest crime and institution in jail, and what can we do for people in prison, and how can we help that and help them not to, to get there. Now, this is a funny thing. I'm walking in my car, and you guys know I keep it real, but here I'm outside. My kids have told me they're ready to go to work, and they're not even here, and I've been rushing outside to take their little happy cute self to work. But anyway, who knows? You know children, you got to love them. I love my show because at least I get to keep it real and be honest. You guys have a great evening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.